I would like to go straight to our subject without any introduction of this chapter. And I will leave you to your own discretion to find out the background of and the details preceding our text. The subject is the power of God's rod. And my text is from verse 11 and 12. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And that is the key text that I would like to focus. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And so here we begin with the first point, which is the stated fact. Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And this shows that Aaron's rod proves its God-given power or God-given superiority over the rods of Pharaoh's servant. We do not exactly know how this magicians of Egypt did to counterfeit, and to how they did it, we are not told. We do not know about that, but that's not our concern. Our concern here is that Aaron's rod has the power to silence all the boasting of Pharaoh and his servant. This incident is very instructive, or rather it is a very instructive representation of the sure or certain victory of God's power over all the oppositions of men and even of angels, fallen angels. And it is an illustration of God's power in swallowing up every counterfeit works of the evil one. Every counterfeit religion, every counterfeit darkness or work that Satan can throw up, God's power will certainly swallow up all this. Let us consider the power of God's rod in the case of the awakened sinner. One whom the Holy Spirit worked in the heart of this sinner. Before the sinner came to Christ in repentance, he or she was of the world, carnal, at enmity with God. His or her heart is cold, indifference, and buried in the cares or the graves of the world, or the cares of the world. And we were in like that condition, isn't it? You and I, who are now Christian believers, bought by the blood of Christ, this was our condition. We eat the bread of sorrow, we were blinded, poor spiritually, we were glued and cemented to the world, we have no power to get ourselves out from the bondage of sin. We have no strength, no way of removing that guilt of sin in our hearts. We feel it, we know it, and we are separated from God in any other way or every way, and we are drawn and captured by the world. However, when the Spirit of God begins that work in our heart, Aaron's rod shall swallow up this rod of rebellion in our heart, this rod of disobedience in our heart, and this rod of resistance, the Holy Spirit melts our heart, and the rod of God does that work. And the Holy Spirit has entered into the sinner's heart. And the next moment, though he goes about, after that, after his conversion, he goes about his normal business, his normal work. But yet, before the Holy Spirit works in him or her, he no, or rather, after that, when the Holy Spirit has done their work, he now, as a Christian, finds no contentment in the things of the world. Once upon a time, this desire to pursue, to have more, and to seek for increment and all that, seek for the things and the riches of the world, this person who has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit finds no true contentment in it. And day by day, as the Holy Spirit sanctifies the heart of a Christian, he yearns, she yearns more and more of the living God, and there is within his heart this spiritual hunger, a thirst unquenchable, and he or she begins to yield to the call of God, of the Lord Jesus, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. All these things means all the things in this life that you need, God will certainly provide. Now his Spirit pleads. Now his Spirit petitions to God, and he sets his eyes on things above more and more. As the grace of God work and increase, now we see the grace of God has won the day, and this repentant sinner seek the world to come. No longer does he or she who is in Christ right now desires the world, but he desires more and more of the world to come. And he or she looks forward, like Abraham, to that new city, the coming city that God has prepared for his people. And so this is a simplified picture of one whose sinful life is swallowed up, indeed swallowed up, by the power of God's rod of grace, God's rod of mercy, God's rod of compassion. And the same fact, with equal distinctness, is to be seen in your life, in my life, in the life of individual believers, when he or she becomes a believer in Christ. His faith in God, destroy all other confidence. Once upon a time, that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, who was outside of the kingdom of God, trust in the rod, or his or her own rod of self-righteousness. He could boast of his integrity, of his moral character, his kind and charitable acts, and was tender in heart towards the poor. He felt very proud of it, that he is such a kind person, such a compassionate person. But the moment the light of the gospel shines into the heart of this sinner, where are the rods of his righteousness? Where are all his righteous acts, which he once boasted? You see, it's all gone, taken away. Why? Because Aaron's rod, God's rod, swallow up all self-righteousness, all that works of righteousness that he depends on. From that moment, the man can say with the Apostle Paul, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Philippians 3:7-9. Brethren, is this not the cry of a true repentant sinner? Did you make such a cry to God? And so here we see, this is the cry of the Apostle Paul. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, dear brethren, is this your spiritual journey? Is this your experience? Has God's wrath swallowed up all your self-righteousness? Swallow up all your pride? Swallow up all your stubbornness? Swallow up all your indifference towards God? Swallow up all your boasting? You who are, or rather those who have not, you are no Christian, and you are not in the kingdom of God unless your faith in Christ has devoured, has swallowed up, the faith in Christ has swallowed up all your confidence, all your dependence on your good works, all your pride. Unless you can say, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other grounds is sinking sand. Is that your testimony? To be a Christian is not to trust Christ and to trust yourself. To have Jesus only as your Savior, you have not the Lord Jesus. You must have Him as your Savior and your Lord. You reject the Lordship of Christ, you are not in Christ. You either have Christ altogether, or you have none of Him. To rely, to be a Christian is not to rely on Jesus somewhat, and then upon your prayers, your good works, your reading of scripture, your coming to church, your giving of your offering, Jesus only must be your watchword. Christ will never have a partner. Remember this. He trod the winepress alone, and He will save you alone. He stretched His hands to the cross, and none but He could bear the burden of your sin, my sin. None will He divide the work of salvation, and He will not share His glory with any, every mortal man. He will not share with His glory with any other. The wrath of the one only high priest must swallow up all other rods, all the rods that you and I hold to. He must swallow up all that. Our Lord Jesus had done that on the cross. Like the rod of Aaron, Christ's blood shed on the cross makes short of all our sin. For it is written, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not some sin, all sin. 1 John 1:7. You shall overcome through the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him. who is the Him? The Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 7:25. The battle, the fight against the evil one is the Lord's, and He will deliver you. You who are His blood-bought children, you can be assured that He will deliver you to the end, the snares of the devil. The evil one will overthrow, or rather will throw many serpents and many rods at us, like what the Egyptian magician did. Satan will throw all kinds of rods at us, to attack us, to hinder us. And he does that in the form of worldly trials, affliction, diabolical or devilish suggestions. He will tempt us to blaspheme God's name, and in the form of evil thoughts, he will cause us to think hard, angry thoughts against God and His providence. He will tempt us and set before us all this temptation and such like, till you will almost be distracted and despondent. Yes, we do face that. Satan will not give up so easily and so quickly. The battle to hinder us, to discourage us, to cause us to backslide. But remember, if you are in Christ, you are able to stand fast, steadfast, unmovable. You are able, in the power of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit dwells in you, throw God's rod at all this spiritual attack. Your simple trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is your rod to throw at Satan when he throws his rod at you. And you will certainly, and you must, with the help of the Holy Spirit, swallow up all of Satan's rod, all of your rods of sin and guilt, your rod of pride, selfishness, your rod of seeking vain glory. All this, the Lord of Christ, the rod of God, will swallow all this up as you walk with the Lord Jesus till He comes or till He brings you home. Have a faith which is built upon God, which will bear whatever comes your way, whatever comes your path. But mix not your faith with wood, hay and stubble of your own gathering. Mix not your faith with anything else of the world, of your self-righteousness, of your good works, or your good character. Let Aaron's rod swallow up all other rods in your hearts. Let your faith in Christ overturn every of Satan's lies and deception. I come now to my second and final point, which is this: the reasons why God's rod ought to swallow up all other rods. The reason why God's rod ought to swallow up all other rods. What does the gospel, the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, reveals to us, the sinner? What does the gospel of Christ tells us? What have we learned of it all these years, those of us who are Christians? Does the gospel not show us that we are in awful danger? That we are in dangerous waters? And there is only one way of escape from it? Do you not see in the gospel of Christ that there is no other way out for us to eternal life, to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus, that there is only one way? If we could have an idea of the wrath of God, if we have some kind of a understanding of the wrath of God to come, the anger of God at the sinner, if if we may, for a moment, have that sense of that, if it is possible, which is very difficult, have that sense of the blistering lightnings of God could flash before our eyes. If we could taste, but for an instant, the bitterness of the cup of trembling, I am sure if we have just a little bit of that the Lord in His mercy should send us, give us that sense of that fiery and hellish feeling of what it is to be in that lake of fire. I am very sure that the gospel which teaches us how to escape from it must be worthy of a man's most solemn consideration. You and I, if we have just that little sense of what it is to stand before this holy and righteous God on the day of judgment, I am very sure we will have a very solemn and we will be trembling. If we do not turn to Christ, we will be finished. And certainly, with that sense of understanding and knowledge, we shall give it all our strength and all our mind to pursue Christ, to seek Him. Then next, does not the gospel also reveal to us the joyous reward of another world, of the new heaven and new earth? Do we not read this in the Bible? It opens to us the distant pearly gates. It tells us of the celestial city, glorious of immortality, the crown of life which fadeth not away. It brings music, melody of heaven, or heaven's choir to our ears, and bids our eyes to look upon the splendor of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting upon His throne. Heaven. If there be a heaven, and we, by calling ourselves Christians, accept it as truth, should it not be the first and last thought, the Alpha and Omega of man's existence, to seek and to find it, so that we may be shut out, or rather, so that we may not be shut out, like the foolish virgins, not prepared for the coming of the Lord, and we are shut out from the marriage supper of the Lamb. By hell and by heaven, therefore, brethren, I plead with all of us, including myself, let us pray. Let us seek the Lord. Let us ask Jesus' rod to swallow up all our other rods. Our rods of pride, our rods of resistance, our rods of disobedience, our rods of seeking after the things of the world, and have our spirit of indifference towards God, towards His Word, our lukewarmness, our disinterest in prayer. May the Lord of God swallow us all this rod up, and let love and faith in Jesus Christ be the master passion of our soul. Moreover, do we not also learn from the Bible or from the Scripture the matchless love of Christ for sinners? Do we not see it? Have we not read about it? You and I who claim to read the Bible every day. What love that brought the Prince of Glory down to the gates of death and made Him pass
the pathway of shame and scoffing, what bring the Lord Jesus Christ, infinitely holy, from his throne of glory to come down to this sin-sick, sin-cursed world, full of sorrow and misery? I really think that many of us, including myself, we do not really have a sense of how sinful and dark and wicked this world we are living in. I remember this, and that is a very poor illustration. It may help us a little. It did help me a little to understand. Maybe I can call it the stench of sin. That stench is so strong, it really knocks me out. When I was a missionary in Kenya, one day, we have to travel from where we are in the bush right down to the town in Nairobi, which is the capital of Kenya, in town to do all our email because we have no internet connection, no handphones, no nothing. There's nothing up there. No TV signal, nothing. We have to do that, and of course we have to do our grocery downtown. And we have to travel 2.5 hours one way. And one day, it was a very hot day, and we always try to go out as early as we can in the morning, 6, 7 a.m. But by the time you reach there, that day, it was so warm, we have to wind down the window, but we cannot wind all the way down. It's very dangerous. You will have people who will stretch in and snatch your things. And one of our missionaries got her necklace given by her mother snatched off. They just pull it off. Or they can get someone to distract you from this window and then next window, whoop. They have no care whether your head will drop or whatever. I don't care. They will just snatch it. But when we wind that down, and then I turn across and I see a huge pool of rubbish, of every kind of rubbish. And the smell from that pile alone is so overpowering. And I saw three kids jumping happily on that pile of... And I tell myself, oh man, this is... Because we don't see it in Singapore. Singapore is very clean. Very clean. Let's face it. And of course, not like here now. And here is really terrible. Just alone here, Cuban High and all this, it has deteriorated into I don't know what. Anyway, that gives me an idea that came upon my mind. How terrible our world is. Kids. Oblivious. I don't know their sense there. Maybe it is dead or what. I don't know. But they were happily jumping and bringing up all this rubbish. And I'm quite sure those rubbish are mixed with, you name it, from your toilet and what have you. But that stench. And people were burning their rubbish also somewhere else. This here burn, there burn. And no, you get what I'm trying to say, brethren? That really we have not, because we are living in such a nice, decent place, isn't it? Average. It's okay. I mean, yes, it's dirty, it's getting worse right now, as I observe. But, so you see, our Lord Jesus, holy, perfect, willing, what love drives him or brought him down to be with us? Smelly, stinking, undeserving, evil, wicked, rebellion, stubborn, no love for God, sinner. Should those of us, we who are now recipient of the grace of God, loved by God, chosen before the foundation of the world, should we who are recipient of Christ's matchless love, love him with a half-hearted love, or even cold love, or no love at all, if we are honest with ourselves? Shall the Lord Jesus, who loves us and gave his life, his blood for us on the cross of Calvary, have a cold love in return? Should Jesus sit at the bottom of the table? Should we just give him the leftover, the crumbs of our time, of our energy, of our whatever that we have, our finance that also comes from him, the air that we breathe also comes from him, don't forget. Shall we bestow, or rather stow him away in some back chamber, put him behind the back? Shall we treat him with apathy? God forbid. Let us who are in Christ Jesus, bought by the blood of Christ, make Christ Jesus the King of Kings within our hearts. Yes, I know that we have fallen, many of us, including ourselves, but there is forgiveness. There God has given us another chance. His long suffering is still there, and therefore let us seize the opportunity to turn back to him in repentance, to renew our love for him, to pray that his Holy Spirit will work in us, stir up in us, warm our hearts, and bring back those memory of his grace and mercy, his love, how he has loved you, delivered you, spared you from many dangers and trials and pain and sorrow. Recall all those of his grace and mercy and love for you, and may that stir you to pray that, Lord, I desire to love you more and more each day. So help me, O God. Let Christ be ruling in our hearts. Though the law, yes, we confess, we must acknowledge that this old nature in us, in the heart of, in the life of a born-again believer is still there, and there is this battle that is going on within us we find so difficult. Yes, it rules and reigns, but let the rod of God, let the rod of Aaron swallow up all other rods. Let us plead for the Holy Spirit to do that work in us, to day by day, that the Spirit of God will swallow up all this one by one, and remove it from our hearts, and to place Christ as the preeminence in our life. And since God has been pleased to ennoble us by giving us such a high dignity as children of God, peculiar treasure, and make us priests, should we or shall we live our lives as vagabonds, as beggars? Shall the unbelievers look at us and say, you are a Christian? Well, I shall say no more on this subject, and pray that each one of us, that the Lord Jesus Christ may give this church, give every one of us in this congregation, a large number of consecrated men and women, boys and girls, who fear God, who seek the Lord, who love the Lord, who desire to pray each day, Lord, may you take the seat on the throne of my heart. However, remember, even though we seek for that and we have that, remember, it must be done out of love, if it is to be acceptable to the Lord Jesus Christ. The worship that we render, the service that we render to Christ, is perfect freedom. To serve him day and night is to enjoy perpetual liberty in Christ. If you are low in grace and weak in your faith, doubting and unbelieving and distrusting God, then pray that the Lord will give you strength to do more, to do more for Christ. Make your consecration more perfect. Your light shall come forth bright and glorious as the lamp that burns brightly. May the Lord help us, especially us, in this congregation. Let us pray. O gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we are willing. We are willing, Heavenly Father, to let your rod of grace, mercy, love, faith, to swallow up all our rods. Our rods of pride, our rods of selfishness, self-seeking, and self-righteousness. O Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou will pour forth Your Holy Spirit anew in our hearts and in greater portion to sanctify us, to work in us Your grace, to draw us closer to Thee. O Lord, as we are conscious, make us more conscious indeed of the shortness of our life in this world. O Heavenly Father, we pray indeed, as You have given us another day, another new day, a new week and a new beginning, help us, O Lord, to walk with Thee anew, closer, with more love for Thee. So help us, we pray. Amen.